You know, Jeremy, you do the Warner Rap every hour, and I think it's like an award-winning style. Yeah. I really do. I mean, you do an unbelievable job recapping everything. But what you didn't do is talk about the big signing today. Did you not hear about that?
What signing?
Darren Fletcher, of course, who used to play in the big leagues from Oakwood, played with Toronto, et cetera. Darren Fletcher signed today with my fast pitch softball team. He's going to play the rest of the year. Darren, I really appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. I got about $25,000 a game when I was playing before.
Now wait a minute.
Wow. I think that's a little more expensive than the Villa Grove Hurricanes can afford.
I forgot to talk to him about the financial obligations.
You know what? I can't hit anymore.
I'm sure he'd struggle. I'm sure he would. Well, Darren Fletcher, I've got one quick story about you, and then we'll get on to talking a lot about baseball in general. But I can remember when Kirk Reeder was a rookie with the Montreal Expos, and you and Kirk, of course, all came to Busch Stadium. Of course, that's what you do. You go play games at different stadiums. And I was a little reporter in Carbondale, Illinois, and I came over and did a story about Kirk Reeder because he was from Hoyleton, which is down there, down around Carbondale. And I remember interviewing you, and I thought to myself, this is really cool. This is a guy from my area of Oakwood that had made it. And, Darren, you were super nice then. And isn't it neat to kind of look back on some of those memories?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
He's, I guess, Hoyleton near the Nashville area.
Sure.
Nashville, Illinois. Great guy. One of the all-time, I guess, really one of the all-time best San Francisco Giant left-handed pitchers. If you look up his stats and the amount of wins that he got just and narrow it down to left-handed starters, Kirk Reeder from Hoyleton, Illinois is the best. So he didn't throw all that hard,
no.
But he can get people out. And he's a great guy, and I do remember that now. That's not all that far from St. Louis, isn't
that's,
it? It's
that's
maybe
correct.
Maybe an hour or something away from St. Louis.
That's correct, and that's kind of why we did it. And I think he was going at the time for a rookie. I don't know if it was a rookie record or rookie left-handed, because I think he was 9 or 10-0 at the time, and he was going for the record of most wins in a row by a rookie or something. But
I do remember that. Yeah, that was That was all the way back in '94 when the Expos, back in the day, right before the strike, when the Montreal Expos were the best team in baseball.
That's correct.
I remember talking about that like it was yesterday, but it's already 2011. But, yeah, he ended up, I think, he won like 9 or 10 in a row.
Sure.
So, yeah, those were the days.
Darren, you played a lot of your baseball north of the border in Canada. What was that like?
I enjoyed Canada. I really did. I mean, Montreal, obviously French. I mean, French is the predominant language.
Sure.
It's spoken first in any of the restaurants, any of the businesses you go into, but most people up there also know English. So I felt comfortable the whole time with the language. It had a little bit more of a European flair to the city,
sure,
which was kind of nice. Now Toronto, played close to 5 years there. Toronto's a great Canadian city, but, I mean, if you were to, compare it to something like the U.S., it's probably a lot like Chicago with a shoreline next to a big lake, it's a great city, a lot like Midwestern cities in the U.S.
And you probably, I've always wanted to ask this of a former big leaguer. I don't get the chance very often, but we're very lucky to have you come on with us. But do you still keep in contact with a lot of the guys you played ball with?
Now and again, it seems like that as the years go by, you lose more and more contact. I was in Canada just recently. The Blue Jays are doing what they call Honda Super Camps, which is just youth camps across Canada. One, just to kind of spur interest in baseball, and two, hopefully get young people to be fans of the Toronto Blue Jays in Canada. And I was up there with guys that I had played with, Denny Boucher, Robbie Alomar was up there. Robbie Alley just got elected to the Hall of Fame. Right-hand pitcher by the name of Dwayne Ward that was a setup man stopper for the Blue Jays World Series years. So, I haven't talked to Reeder in a long time. Get the Christmas card, but I texted Chris Carpenter the other day when I was at a Cardinal game and chatted on him on the phone and a few other guys. So
that's cool.
It's amazing that I've been removed from the game about 8 years and very few people left in the game that are playing that I played with.
That's neat. We're talking to Darren Fletcher, former big leaguer. Darren, what are you doing now? I know you just said you went to Canada and kind of helped out with that. Is that a lot of what you're doing, just kind of helping now kind of keep baseball rolling, I guess?
Well, I'm actually on the baseball field a lot now, even though I'm retired with kids and stuff. I've got a 18-year-old son. I helped out coach the high school team in Oakwood. I was the assistant coach. I help coach a team that my youngest son is involved in Danville, and do some camps for the Blue Jays. And I chase that little white ball around a lot nowadays, too.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, Darren, we were just talking about Mike Kwadi, bringing up yesterday, of course, a missed call yesterday that they got the tag on second base. And you're saying, I'm a fan of instant replay. You played in the big leagues. What do you think of instant replay? Do you think it should be used more, and what do you think it should be used on if it is implemented?
Nah, I don't like it. I think it just completely kills the ebb and flow of the game to stop the game and take a look at a call like that. I mean, that's just part of it. I think that's one of the neat things about baseball is that umpires do make mistakes, and you can sit in the stands and sit there and argue back and forth whether he was right or wrong. And it's just, I think it's part of the game. If anything, I guess, you know, they've added this thing where if if they can't tell whether the ball was out of the ballpark or not, whether it hit a seat or ricocheted back, I don't mind taking a look at something that they can't see, 150 feet, 200 feet out there, because they're only carrying, four umpires in the crew. Now, if they've got guys down the lines, they shouldn't have to do any instant replay because a left field umpire and a right field line umpire should be able to see that. But a crew of four that's just around the infield, sometimes it's tough to see a ball in, Houston ricochet off something up there, whether it went out or not. So maybe something like that. But all the rest of the stuff, in my opinion, leave alone.
Sure. Talking with former big leaguer Darren Fletcher, former Illini as well. And you made the All-Star team in 1994. I'm sure that was, a nice highlight of your career, just getting to go to an All-Star game. Obviously, a big contingent of the All-Stars didn't go this year, partly because the pitchers pitched on Sunday. But some of the guys like Derek Jeter, Aramis Ramirez, chose not to go to the All-Star game. As a former All-Star, what's your take on that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, Jeter... Was he elected? I can't remember if he was elected or
he was voted in.
Yeah, he was voted in.
He was voted in. I don't know. I don't know why he should have went if he was voted in. I mean, he's a good guy. Maybe he was a little disappointed with his numbers. I mean, he's hitting 260 with four home runs and a few RBIs. Maybe he felt that he just wasn't deserving.
That's a good point.
I just say, sometimes those guys are like, well, let somebody else go because I really don't deserve it. And they're just voting me in because I'm Derek Jeter. Look at my numbers. There's plenty of other guys that are more deserving than I am.
That's interesting that maybe they would think like that. Darren, I guess my question to you, we've got trade deadline coming up. And, it's easy to sit here. Like one guy we've talked about a lot here is Colby Rasmus, center fielder for the Cardinals. And the fact, should they trade him, blah, blah, blah. Well, Darren, you're a guy that was a player, and you're one of those guys. It's easy for us to sit here and talk about a guy's life. You're going to trade him out of St. Louis and send him here or whatever. What's that like for a player when that trading deadline comes around and maybe you know that you might be part of it? I'm sure that's pretty nerve-wracking for a player.
Yeah, it is. It's doubly nerve-wracking if you're on a winning team. And if you're on a winning team and they want to still get in there and you're still hearing talk of them wanting to get rid of you, it's offensive.
I bet.
Because you're on the winning team. You're on a Cardinal team that's winning ball games.
Sure.
You're part of it. You would feel like, why should I be traded to – typically, let's say that, I was on a last place team and, my contract's up, then sure, I'm looking to get traded. I might get picked up by someone that's in the hunt that I can help out. That's not – for my psyche of my game feels a lot better than being on a winning team and then someone using me as trade bait to get something better in return, probably pitching, but I'm sure it's nerve-wracking for him.
Talking with former big league catcher Darren Fletcher, and Darren, I wanted to ask you this because you're a catcher. Buster Posey got injured on a bang-bang play. I got taken out at home plate. A lot of media have come up and said, well, maybe there should be a rule that catchers can't block the plate or you can't run over a catcher at home plate. I mean, I'm one to think, hey, that's part of the game. If the catcher wants to block the plate, then he should be able to be removed from that plate by the runner. What's your take on that as a former catcher in the big leagues?
Well, be honest with you, I didn't see the play. Okay. I just didn't. I'd have to, if I saw the play, I could probably comment it. Now, I got an idea of what has happened. I mean, as a catcher, you've got an opportunity to block the plate with the ball in your hand,
right,
which is you know, you're fair game at that point. If I'm in possession of the baseball and you're coming in, I think I'm a target to be hit. Now, the only thing that is a little bit on the gray area is if I do not have the baseball and I'm looking out to receive the ball, mm-hmm. and someone smokes me when, you know, I am not even in the baseline, I'm not even surrounding the plate, and he goes out of his way to hit me when I'm not even blocking the plate, and that's a little different. I mean, that's something that, you know, you're almost just looking to try to hurt somebody at that point.
Correct.
You know, they're not going to throw you out of the game or anything like that, sure. But unwritten rule of baseball is that, you know, if you hurt that guy and it appears that everyone thinks on the team that you went out of the way to hurt somebody, I mean, in baseball, they take care of it by throwing at you. They'll hit the guy next time right in the back of the neck. So you just have to be – that's just how the game's played. I didn't see the play. If he kind of a bang-bang play and he almost has the ball and the guy's deciding whether to slide or to hit him and he's blocking the plate, I think you hit him, and that's just part of the game.
Yep.
And, Darren, is there a collision that you remember at the major league level? I mean, whether it was just because it was so hard or because you took exception to it?
Well, it was kind of my fault. I remember collisions where I was doing more of the colliding than the other guy, where as a catcher I would show you some of the plate in an area where you can slide. I don't believe as a catcher that you should completely block the plate with your body where – visually, the runner from third base cannot see home plate at all.
True.
Then you're just a sitting duck, and they're going to smoke you even without the ball. You know, what you do is that you give them an area to slide behind you and give them a view of the plate, and then you close the door on them once you've received the ball and you dive back. You know, the only thing is that if I don't have the ball and I'm out there, he may come after me, but hopefully not. He'll take the area that I've given him to slide. So most of the time on the areas that I've given them the slide, they'll slide, I'll get the ball, and then I get to bury them with my shin guards. The other way around would be I got hit one time by Lenny Webster,
Dykstra?
He played for the Dodgers.
Lenny Harris. Yeah,
sorry,
that's right.
Played for the Cubs, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Lenny Harris, big guy, built like a fullback. Lenny Harris was with the Dodgers, and I made a mistake, and I got lost where I was at home plate. The ball was kind of up the line, and as opposed to me giving him an area to slide to, I kind of shut the door on him prematurely and left myself open, and he smoked me. He hit me very hard, lowers his shoulder on me. I can't remember. I think I got the ball. I may have been able to make a play. Ooh. I don't know, but I almost blacked out.
He wow.
So hard that I almost blacked out and came to.
Wow.
But, you know, it was kind of my fault. I was in his way. You know, I think as a catcher, like I said, show them an area, give them an area to slide, and typically they'll take it.
Oh, the memories. Hey, wrapping up with Darren Fletcher, one last question, Darren. I got to ask you real quick about that Illini baseball run. I don't know how – I know you're a busy guy, and I don't know how much you actually get to pay attention to that, but I don't know, were you able to see Illinois go on this – magical run at the end of the season?
Well,
to win
I was
the Big
able 10? To. I was able to keep track of it in the paper. You know, Dan and I are we talk quite a bit. Dan's
sure.
a great guy, Coach Hartlib. I think a lot of him. We're the same age, and he was at Southern when I was at the U of I.
Right.
So I'm always pulling for him. Not quite sure of who all his players are, but just at the program in general, I knew in the wintertime that he kept telling me that he felt that he had a special group.
Right.
That they were looked like that they had a chance to win, and I know that he was disappointed with their start, and you know mid-season I think that it didn't look like they were really going to turn out, but then all of a sudden just at the end the middle of the lineup started hitting for him, and the pitching held up and was able to make a great run.
Perfect. Darren Fletcher, we appreciate this. We held you on a little bit longer than we're supposed to, and I apologize, but hopefully we can do it again soon.
Well, send me a contract, and I'm ready to play fastball.
Awesome.
There you go.
I don't even need to talk to the boys.
I'm in. Something a sandwich afterwards would be great.
Well, I can handle that. Believe me. Darren, thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, that is Darren Fletcher, former big league catcher, Toronto Blue Jays and more, and wow.
Now you guys just need to have like a benefit to raise this $25,000.
That's what you need to do. Send your money now to these. No, I'm kidding. How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty cool to have a former big leaguer.
Just for one game.
What did he hit, like 140 homers in his career?
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad.
He mashed. Just one game.
$25,000. Sell that truck.
Oh, that's not even close. What am I going to do then? I can't get around and
That thing's worth $2,000.
I still need another $23,000. I can't get to work. Oh, that was fun, though. Darren Fletcher joining us, and how cool is that?
Interesting take, and the one thing I really liked what he said about was about the catching and blocking the plate, that
yes.
he would leave that spot open.
And I agree with that.
Well, and that's interesting because, we watched this game. I never played catcher. You know, that's something only a catcher would know, that
right.
you kind of leave that spot open to give him a spot where they can actually do it so they don't run into you, because you're protecting yourself if you're doing that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want them to score that run, but when you're talking about your career and you being out, maybe that hurts your team more in the long run.
Well, listen, maybe you're not Darren Fletcher and don't have his resume, but if you caught growing up, give us a call, 359-2255. How were you taught to catch? I don't know anything about catching.
Right.
I never work with catchers. How were you taught? 359-2255.
We brought it up about Mike Quadi saying he'd like instant replay.
Mm.
My question to you is, do you think baseball should have instant replay? And what should it be used for? Fair, foul, balls, and strikes? What do you think instant replay should be used for if you think it should be implemented more? 217-359-2255, 359-2255.
It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.